John 15. Father, thank you so much for your precious word. Lord, we are so appreciative that you sent your word to us and gave us a written history and account of your heart towards mankind. Lord, we are so thankful for it, and we do esteem it more precious to us than even our necessary food. Holy Spirit, we covenant with you today. We ask you to be here to teach us, to be our instructor, to enlighten our hearts and our understandings, to give us insight into the things we see so that we can apply them in our lives and we can bear the fruit that would bring glory to our Father. So we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. All right, John 15, starting in verse 1. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So we've talked about this for a couple of weeks, kind of spread out a little bit, but I had shared that I just felt like at the beginning of this year that this was sort of a word that just kind of defined where I felt my life was supposed to be on track with this year, and that was connecting. And I knew that it meant connecting with the Father. Of course, then if you connect with the Father, you're going to connect with people as well in a healthy way. But from this passage, he says that abiding is the same as connecting. Actually, you could say connecting instead of abiding. But that's essential to having a fruitful life. If we're going to be fruitful as believers in our Christian life, and when I say fruitful, I'm just talking about just experiencing the promises of God, walking out the promises of God, experiencing healing, provision, healthy, vibrant, wonderful, thriving relationships. And of course, then the things that God's called us to do, the plans and purposes he has for our lives, because he does. He has a plan for every single life. There is no accident. You know, sometimes you'll hear parents go, here's my little accident. Excuse me? That's a horrible thing to say about your kids. They're not accidents. You know, God knew them. He knew them from before the time they were conceived. So they're not accidents. But he has a plan for every single human being. But abiding in him or connecting with him is absolutely essential to being fruitful in life. Healing is, we have to stay connected. Somebody might say, well, why are you teaching on these things? You know, this is supposed to be a healing class. Well, not really. This is an equip class. We're going to touch on everything we need to touch on, not just healing. Healing is going to be a big part of it. But think about this. Every person that came to Jesus based on their own faith because of what they'd heard, they came to him to connect with him. And then he spoke words to them to tell them, gave them specific things to do or sent them off to do something. And that's really what this is talking about. He says, if you abide in me, in other words, if you'll connect with me, if you'll come to me and my words abide in you, or in other words, what I tell you to do then when you're in that place of connection, then you can ask whatever you will. You'll see the fruit. So often what we're trying to do in our Christian walk is we hear somebody's testimony and we think, well, I'm going to do that. They did that. That should work for me. I'll do that. But what we don't always know is we don't know what got them to the place of what the steps that they took, what got them there. Well, that person went and spent time with God and heard words from heaven that they acted on, and that's what brought that fruit in their life. So that's available to every believer. God isn't holding back. God never holds back from us. God wants us to be fruitful. Isn't that some of the first things he said to man in the garden was be fruitful? Be fruitful. You know, God had never stopped along the way and amended that and said, okay, stop being fruitful. Stop it now. No more fruitfulness. No, he's wanted us to be fruitful from the very, very beginning of creation. So we see here that there's something about connecting with him that will always result in being fruitful as a believer. And so it's essential. If we want to be fruitful in our health, if we want to be fruitful in our soul, if we want to be fruitful in our relationships, if we want to be fruitful in our finances, then we need to go to God and we need to find out what words He wants to speak to us about that, and let those words take root in our lives and then act on them. Not just, you know, I think sometimes Christians say, well, I read the word and I confess the word. That's all I need to do. No, that's not it. We need to have this connection with a living God. God is alive. We need to be connected with Him and then listen to the things He has to say and then act on what He tells us to do. You know, the miracle at Cana, the first miracle in Jesus' ministry where water was turned into wine. What did his mother tell those servants? She said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Well, what was the result of them doing what they were told to do? A miracle. It was his first miracle, and it was a doozy. and I think so often we're afraid to do the things. We're afraid to obey God. And I think the fear of obeying God is distrust. We just don't trust that if we do what God tells us to do in his word, or when he speaks something to us in a time of prayer that he instructs us or directs us, there's fear there because we don't know him. But that's why abiding in him is so important. If we spend time abiding in him, connecting with him, just spend time getting to know him better, trust will never be an issue. We will always be able to trust him. If we see something in his word that tells us how to get something dealt with in our lives, we know we can go to the bank on that because we know him. You know, all of us here, or most of us here, are married. If you have a spouse, or say you just have a close family member, you know the more time you spend with them, the better you get to know them, then the more you can trust them. I know, you know, my husband, I know I can trust what he tells me. There's just why, I've spent time with him. I've spent time with him. We've spent how many thousands and thousands of hours together in our married life and close time together. You know, we've been privileged to spend a lot of time together because of ministry. Well, you get to know them. You get to anticipate things about them. Well, that's what our relationship with God should be like. There should never be fear or distrust there. If God says do this, then do it because he can be trusted. So often the reason things aren't working the way they should is because we don't trust God enough to do what he says. So that's what he's saying here in verse 7 when he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's not talking about, oh, I can quote the scriptures. I can quote the whole book of Romans. I can quote all kinds of confessions. That's not what that's talking about. Us abiding in him means drawing nigh to him, staying close to his side. And then his words abiding in us means that we're going to obey his word. He's able to speak things to us and then we'll act on those things. That's what that's talking about. It's not talking about having a bunch of scriptures committed to memory. It's talking about being obedient. It's talking about being doers of the word. That's what causes a fruitful life. He says those are the conditions. Then if you can ask whatever you will. Does that mean that God's going to bend his will to our will? No. The more time we spend with him, the more renewed our minds get. Our requests are going to be in line with God's word. We'll never ask anything that's out of line. People always say, you mean I could ask whatever I want? Well, you'll be asking things in line with his word if you've been spending time with him. Because he'll show you what his desires are. We'll ask in line with his desires. So we have to abide in him, and his words have to abide in us. In other words, just like the people in the Gospels that drew nigh to him, they came close to him. And then Jesus spoke words to them. They acted on them. And what was the result? Healings, miracles were always the result of that. It was the God side and the man side. That's what that's talking about here again. You know, when somebody says, well, I can ask whatever, can that really be true? Can I really ask whatever? No, if we're going to benefit from the promises of God, and who doesn't want to? Who doesn't want to benefit from the promises of God? You see these incredible promises, and we think, how could that be true? Well, because God is so good. That's how, first of all, how it could be true. So we see these wonderful promises, and we want to benefit from those promises or live a fruitful life. But are we willing to do what he said to do, which is abide in him and let his words abide in us? In other words, stay close to God. Stay close to him. And then when he directs you in life, do what he says. We know when we were just up north, we had several days that we spent just seeking God on some things. And there was one area that I'm not going to tell you what it is right now, but there was one thing in particular that I have just pondered over and just thought about and wondered about for years. you know, one area of ministry that I've just wondered and wondered and wondered about, and it's just been a kind of a thorn for me. And, you know, in the morning, my time, I got up very early that day, and I was sitting out in the, looking out at the lake and just praying and just, and what happened is, and I think this is what we have to get to, my heart cried out to God. I wasn't talking him out of my head or kind of my little canned prayers or just talking at him, which so often people do. They just talk, and they never stop and listen. And my heart just cried out to God. My heart opened. And I believe God heard my heart cry. And then I heard back very quickly. You know, sometimes we think, it's so hard to hear from God. And I just, well, first of all, we have to stop talking. It's really hard to listen to somebody else when you're talking. Isn't that true? So you have to stop talking. But God answered me almost immediately and spoke something to me. So I had a part of it. But then later in the day, we prayed together about some things. Again, some of these issues. We prayed again. And after our time of prayer, I heard some more. Now, I put those things together, and I got the full picture. And it was such a huge answer for me, and it brought such release to me. But what if I had just done my little devotional duty and got my Bible out and just read some scriptures and just went through the motions and, you know, just did all the things that I know to do, but I never stopped and let his words abide in me? That's what I had to do to get an answer in that situation. And that's how easy it is. God will answer us. If we'll connect with him, if we will go to him, if we will get our priorities right in life, if we will go to him first, not to our friends, not to other people. You know, sometimes we hit brick walls and we do need to sit down with somebody we trust and maybe talk about things, but most often that's not the case. Or we'll listen to a tape and we want to hear what somebody else did and we think if we copy that, that'll work for us, and it never does. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe the technique getting to the place they did, maybe that's something you could imitate, but we have to hear from God for ourselves because we're such unique individuals and no two of us are alike. And so going to God and pouring out your heart and being honest with him, you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. You can't go to God and say, this area of my life is not working, and then give him all the excuses why it's not working. Do you think God knows why it's not working? You think God knows? God knows why it's not working? Of course he does. Most often it's because his words aren't abiding in us. In other words, we're not doing what he told us to do. We're making, I can't do that because, and I was doing that in this area. There was an area that I was doing that in. And it was ministry. And, you know what? As soon as God speaks to you, you have to purpose in your heart. When God speaks to me, like Mary said to those servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And what was the result? There was a miracle that resulted because of that. So we're talking about coming close to God, drawing nigh to God. Being there, going to him, he has got the answers. Isaiah 55 says, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. He says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his thoughts above our thoughts. That means our little puny human ways of reasoning about our money, about our health, about our relationships, about all the different things that concern us in life, they are like subterranean. And God is like Mount Everest, and that's not even high enough, the difference between them. How will you ever know those Mount Everest thoughts? Or let's say the International Space Station thoughts, let's say that. How could you ever know those thoughts if you don't come to him, if you don't connect with him and take time to stop and listen to him? And then be a person of integrity, purpose that when God tells you something that you're going to do it, you're going to act on it. Stop making excuses. Amen. Stop making excuses. Stop taking the easy way. Do what God says to do, because he will so far outdo for you what you could ever do for yourself. Now, there are things, natural things God will tell you to do. There's things that he'll speak, natural things. Maybe you're believing God for an area of your health, and he might tell you, you need to do this. You know, this is the one thing that bugs me about Christians, is we want to spiritualize everything. We want to spiritualize everything. Everything is it's just the word. I'm just going to believe God. No, you know what God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, he's going to sanctify us, Holy Spirit, soul, and body. So in other words, God's concerned about our soul, God's concerned about our body, and God's concerned about, of course, our spiritual health. So there are things about your physical body that need to be sanctified as well. There's things about your soul that need to be sanctified. There are natural things. God put things on the earth for our benefit. There are certain foods that are beneficial to us. God may say, you need to cut out eating this and start eating this. You know, God is that practical. He's so practical. It's not all just praying and believing God. I don't believe God for my healing, but I'm going to keep eating all this, whatever. I'm going to keep abusing myself. I'm going to keep lifting things I shouldn't lift. And, you know, all of these things, they all work together. It's part of a whole thing. God is a God of all three parts of us. But if we never go and connect, if we never draw nigh to him and open our hearts and ask him about these things that are ongoing, if we don't do that, then he can't tell us. You know, have you ever tried to get somebody's attention? I'm such a task-oriented person. Sometimes, and I hate to even admit this, but my husband will come in and say something to me, and then he didn't get my attention because I was so. Usually it's when I'm focusing on something I'm doing for church, like, you know, I'm dealing on with finances or something like that. He'll come in and he'll ask me a question and he'll leave, and then I'll vaguely remember that he came into the room and said something to me. And I realize, uh-oh. I was a little preoccupied there, you know. You get so focused on things. Well, we do that as believers too. We get so focused on what we think is important in life, and God is right there trying to get our attention, trying to speak things to us, things that could be life changing, things that could be absolutely change the course of our lives in those trouble areas. And we're just too preoccupied with whatever we're doing to pay attention, to listen. Now, it doesn't happen all the time. I have to make sure I make a disclaimer that this doesn't happen all the time, but occasionally it does with my husband. So, you know, and he understands me. He knows that I get very focused on things. It's kind of like, you know, the stories about the women making jokes about their husband if he's reading the paper, and it's like, don't bother trying to talk to him. You know, he's in his little box. He's in that little spot. Well, women can do that too, so we're just as guilty. But we have to take time, shut down, quiet ourselves. Doesn't the scripture say, be still and know that I am God? We have to be quiet. We have to be still so that we can hear what God wants to say to us. And then as I said, we have to have enough integrity. If you ask God for an answer, have enough integrity to do what he tells you to do. See, oftentimes people hear that and go, oh, I can't do that. Oh, God didn't know that you couldn't do that. God didn't know that you couldn't do what he's telling you to do. Of course he's not going to tell you to do something you can't do. He's going to tell you to do what you can do. With his help, with him empowering you, he's going to tell you to do certain things. And oftentimes the things he tells us to do make absolutely no sense whatever. We'll even say, well, that would be foolish to do that. Well, doesn't God say that? In 1 Corinthians, he says, the wisdom of God is foolishness to men. Oftentimes the things God tells us to do they seem like foolishness. Wait a minute, give away my money and I'll have more? Does that even make sense? Does it? Does anybody here, have you figured that out yet? It doesn't make sense, but you know what? It works. It works. So we have to draw nigh to him. We have to abide in him. And then when his words, what he wants to speak to us, can abide and feel at home in us. How do we know God's word is abiding and feeling at home in us? Because we're believing it and acting on it. You know, we can tell how much people trust God by how much they obey him. You can easily tell how much, okay, Jesus said we should all examine ourselves to see if we're in faith. How can I tell if I'm in faith in an area of my life? Well, am I obeying God there? And not just partially obeying God. I mean, are we fully obeying him? If we're fully obeying God in that area of our life, that means we're fully trusting God in that area of our lives. That means we have taken the responsibility off of ourselves to fulfill that, and we've put it in God's hands. We're doing what he says to do. And we have proven this out. You know, I'm not standing up here telling you a theory, especially when it comes to finances. This is not a theory. This works. We have proven God. We went through an abysmal place financially back several years ago. It was abysmal. You know, people would say, oh, just file bankruptcy, just do this, you know, that'll be all better. We thought, no, we created the debt, we're gonna do this, we're gonna take care of it. So, we just decided the answer to that was what God said in his word. we just saw in God's word that there was an answer for that. So, you know, you all know the story. We were on our way back from Appleton one day, and I just had this rise up inside of me. Oftentimes those things that rise up inside of you are the desires of God. And it just was, oh God, I just want to give more. It wasn't, I want more money. It was, I just want to give more. I just want to give more. And I was more, you know, towards missions and giving to people who are in a place where they just can't do that. You know, the people that are overseas. And so, you all know the story. The next day, Eric called me to come back in to work. And it turns out then, of course, that something that should have lasted for a few months ended up being a few years again. But God, we purposed what we were going to do with that money. And we did it. We were faithful to do that. And it has absolutely, does that make sense? You get a job and it could help you get out of debt, but if you took all that money and applied it to your debt, but instead we decided we were going to apply that money to what God said, which is sowing liberally, and it turned our finances around completely. We have no debt anymore except for mortgage. We have no debt. It's all gone. It's all gone. Of course, mortgage is our next thing. We're applying it to our mortgage now. So, it works. It doesn't make sense. And usually when we want to argue with God, when His word comes to us to tell us what to do to get out of an issue or a problem, we want to argue. Well, how could I pay this? Or how could I do that? Or how could this, you know, or in a relationship, Lord, if I lay down my life and give to that person, they'll just take advantage of me. You know, we have all these natural excuses and things that come to us that we want to argue with God instead of doing what He says to do. But what did Mary say to the servants? Whatever He says to do, do it. Whatever He says to do, do that. And that's what we have to commit to. We're going to be people that will do whatever God tells us to do, because then we can live lives of miraculous things. We can live lives of things that looked so impossible a year or two or three ago. And now it's like, what happened? God happened. God's answers became real in my life. His promises became real. It's so fun to prove that out in our lives. You know, whether you prove it out or not, it's true. Whether you prove it in your own life or not, it is true. But how much better when we prove it out in our lives? Didn't God say, like in Malachi, prove me? Just prove me with this. And so if we'll just do it, if these different areas, whether it's our marriage, whether maybe our job relationship, maybe things that at work, we're believing for a promotion or something, or our finances, our health, whatever it is, the doctor might have told you this is really bad. You could see those things turn around if you'll just abide in Him, go to Him, stay close to Him, and then purpose in your heart, you're going to do whatever He speaks to you in those times. And He will speak to you. You know, it's just as easy to hear from God as it is if I walked into that office across the hall and asked my husband a question. It's just that easy with the Father. Because He wants to communicate with us. He wants to give us answers. He wants our lives to be blessed and prosperous. He doesn't want us to struggle in life. He doesn't want us to limp along in our health or our finances and have it year after year after year have it be the same. Where we're just frustrated and we just, you know, it just, when is this ever going to change? And what happens when that's the case? What happens is people begin to doubt God's word. They begin to doubt that those promises are for them, or they begin to doubt that promise is a valid thing. Oh, that's just a pipe dream, you know? No, it isn't. We have to do the right thing. We have to go through the right, I hate to say process, but there is sort of a process where if I need healing, the first thing I should think of is not spouting off all the healing scriptures I know. It's to go to Him immediately. The first thing I do, I go to Him. I go to Him. He's the answer man. Amen? You know, He's the answer man. Go to Him first. Spend some time just worshiping Him. I loved what Leanne shared last week, or 2 weeks ago when we were up north, when she shared in the equip class. She was talking about praise. I love it. I love it because I've heard the scripture before, but she talked about praise being like gates. Anybody was in here for that class? Oh, it was so good. And how so often we come up against these walls. And we come up against a wall, and it just seems like there's no way through that wall. And she says that God calls His gates praise. What happens when we're up against a wall and there's no way to get through? Well, you know what? We just begin to praise God for his faithfulness. We begin to praise God for his goodness, for his provision, for his love. And it's like a gate opens up in that wall that we can pass through. God has the answers. He has answers for every single thing we face in life. But we have to go to him. That means we might have to change our priorities a little bit. This means we have to stop living. We can't work or we can't ever be entertained or anything like that. But I think some of those things have replaced our time with God. Some of those things have crowded out quality time with God. We have to make our priorities right. Prioritize so that when we're going through things, again, don't go to Facebook first. Post how bad it is on Facebook. Go to him. Go to him. He has an answer for you. Besides, some of the answers that I see posted are so foolish. They're just foolish. I'm sorry. But it is what it is. My son says, Mom, you're just a lurker. I am. I'm a Facebook lurker. I admit it. That's about it. But God has answers. He has answers for every single concern you have. If you have a concern, if you have a concern about whatever, I mean, the things that human beings deal with, go to him. Go to him and open your heart to him. Put the excuses aside. Stop making excuses. Put all the reasons and excuses aside and be willing to listen to him and be willing to accept whatever he says to do. Now, if he says something to you that seems absolutely crazy, now that might be a time to go to someone you trust. Call your pastor or someone else that you really trust, that you know is seasoned and mature in the word, and say, could this be right? This is what I'm hearing. Could this be right? And then you can deliberate and see what the word says about that. Go to the written word then and see what it says. But, God will always speak to you in line with his word. He'll always speak to you something that you know. Oh, yeah, I've read that in the Word before. I know the Word has said that. That's safe. I can trust this. But he doesn't want us to stay the same this year as we were last year. He doesn't want our finances to be the same. He doesn't want our health to be the same. He doesn't want our marriages, our friendships, our work relationships to be the same. He wants them to explode with fruit. He wants us to be the most fruitful year of our lives. And, every once in a while I come around and around about this again, but I think that we're coming close to some huge things happening in the world arena. And if you don't have that kind of relationship developed with the Lord, you're going to be in fear when these things start coming. You'll be in fear and you'll think, well, what are we going to do? Well, I know what to do. I know who to go to. I know exactly where the answers are. I'm going to go to him and he's going to tell me what to do. Didn't God do that with his prophets? We have such wonderful records of things that God did with his prophets, the answers he gave to his prophets during terribly difficult times that looked impossible. We live in a glorious time. We live at the end of an age. And God has so many things he wants to do, but he needs believers to be fruitful. Because it's fruit in our lives that attracts other people. It's the fruit. Have you ever driven by an apple orchard in the fall and these just before harvest and you see these gorgeous, heavily laden trees and it's just, you think of provision and you think of all the wonderful things, those wonderful emotional things that kind of go along with that. Unbelievers need to see that in the life of a believer. They need to see us heavily laden with fruit. They need to see us. It was so fun the other night. We were at Office Depot getting some ink cartridges. As we ran out and we had to go out in after that horrible storm to get ink cartridges. And we were talking to this young man and he had a very difficult to pronounce name. So I asked him how to pronounce his name and then asked him where he was from. He's from Nigeria. So we're telling him about our wonderful family from Nigeria. And then he goes, what church is that? And so we told him and it was so wonderful because he said, oh, no wonder you're such happy, positive people. And I thought, that is just what I want people. I want people to think that. Don't you want people to look at you and think you're a happy person, a positive person, a pleasant person, somebody that isn't grumpy cat, you're not a grumpy cat. Your response to them, even when things don't go quite the way you want them to go, are positive and uplifting. And see, people are looking for fruit. even the world, they're looking for people that have joy and peace and a sense of rest about them. That's the fruit God wants to establish in our lives in these last days, because that's attractive to people. So I'm going to cut it off here. We'll pick up again with this some more next week. This week, when you're facing obstacles, when you're facing difficult things, go to God. Just go to Him. Because He has things that He wants to tell you. There's things He wants to speak to you and talk to you about that will make all the difference in the world in that area. Sometimes they're the simplest little things. Sometimes they're just, they would be so easy and so simple, you would think, well, that couldn't be it. That's too small. That's too tiny. It would be like those servants. What do you mean, fill up the water pots? What do you mean? We need wine. We don't need big, huge things full of water. We need wine. You know, see, that's what happens in the human mind. It starts, oh, that doesn't make sense. Oh, that couldn't be God. That's not big enough. That doesn't sound like anything miraculous to me. But see, that's how God communicates to us. Sometimes it'll just come just as an impression, something simple. So go to Him first. Amen. Amen.